It's Kearney Live. Today on Kearney Live, we welcome Megan Saufeld from Clay County Tourism and Marketing, Clay County Prosecutor Zach Thompson, and Missouri House Representative Mark Myrith. And now here's Jim Dickerson, Stacy Bratcher, and Nick Vasquez.
And hello and welcome to another edition of Kearney Live. I'm Jim Dickerson along with Stacy Bratcher and Nick Vasquez. And I got to tell you right now, I'm hungry because I saw the hamburgers in the opening there.
But, it looked tasty.
Welcome, Brian. Do you have any hamburgers for us?
Hi, guys. Go. Nope, I don't have any hamburgers ready for you.
All right. Well, thanks for showing that up there. I don't have any news stories today, but what? I did have a little off-the-cuff. Want to see? I didn't want to tell you guys before the show started.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
One of our esteemed colleagues from the sports department did a quiz on Facebook. You may have seen it. And the quiz was, which is your least favorite airline? And it blew up. And everybody got on there and started answering.
No.
So I had a question for you guys, since you're here. I was going to ask you. And I didn't want you to know ahead of time. Brian, I'm going to pull you in on this, too. Do you guys travel much by air?
Not anymore.
Yes.
Okay, let's start with you. Why not anymore?
I can't afford it.
All right, well, there's that. So we'll go over to you.
Yes.
Yes, quite a bit.
Just took a trip to New York.
All right, and how'd it go?
The flights?
Sure.
Going there went well. Going home, not so well.
And why did it not go well?
We were supposed to leave LaGuardia and land at Charlotte and then come back to Kansas City. And we were going to land at Charlotte, I think, at 10:55. And the plane was leaving, the next plane was leaving from Charlotte at 11:14. Mm-hmm. Oh. And said we were not going to make it. So we had to end up staying the night.
So that your original connect, 10:55
yes.
to 11:14?
No, it was not.
Okay.
We were delayed.
All right.
And then kept getting delayed and kept getting delayed. And then had ended up staying the night in Flushing, New York.
Excellent. Beautiful place.
Not excellent.
Not good.
No. And then we were going to fly from New York to Washington, D.C. and be home at 10 o'clock the next morning. And we were home at, I think, 12:30 or 1.
And so going back, my first question would be, why were you delayed?
They said it was weather.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so that brings up the interesting question. So when everybody talks about their least favorite airline, because I obviously get a crack, we laugh about this. Everybody says, I hate X airline, and I'll never fly them again until they go to book, and that's the cheapest, and then they're going to go get it. And so what has always amused me is that you have people who are literally getting on an airplane that costs multiple millions of dollars to put together. Let's forget operating it. You're going to spend a couple hundred dollars. You're going to fly across the country and be somewhere in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
I can get to Florida. I can get to the Bahamas faster than I can drive to St. Louis.
Right.
And then we're going to complain because we weren't treated like a king or queen or whatever the case was. And so there are two major types of delays. There's weather delays and maintenance delays.
Mm-hmm.
Weather delays, I always, you know, they're like, whoa. So these planes, yes, you could fly through. You would never fly again if you did it because it would be the worst ride you've ever done. You'd end up on the ceiling and on the floor and everything else. So for safety, they don't do that. And the same thing with maintenance. These planes literally have millions and millions and millions of parts that all have to work perfectly
mm-hmm.
or you're not going. And so when people say, well, we were canceled because of maintenance, so you'd rather get on a plane that has a faulty part and you know it ahead of time and motor on? Discuss.
Well, first you need to tell the listeners why you know so much about this.
Because I am Mr. All-Knowing.
That is true.
No,
but
no, but having so obviously still a pilot today, having flown for the airlines, my wife still flies for the airlines, and so we see this all the time and are honestly quite amused by it because the poll came out and or the survey or however mm-hmm. he did it, tons of responses. But if you're going, one of the things we were, because we both saw it and we were talking about it, if you're going to say what's my least favorite airline, first of all, for that to qualify to even discuss that, I would think you need to have flown on every airline probably at least 5 times in the last year.
You think it's a small sample
because
size.
You have to have a sample.
Right.
If I flew on American Airlines once last year and that's all I did and I was delayed because of weather, I'm going to be mad, right? Because I didn't get home on time or I was late or I missed my connection.
Well, but how about instead of talking about your least favorite, let's talk about our favorites
all right,
instead.
Let's go
positive.
Let's
Southwest.
Hear something positive.
I like Southwest.
Okay. That good. Stacy has made her peace. Having said that, Stacy, what do we have coming up next?
Well, Jim, speaking of air travel, the FIFA World Cup games are coming to the Kansas City area in less than 1 year. We'll talk with Megan from Clay County Tourism and Marketing about how we can prepare for the festivities. Coming up next on Kearney Live.
Explore a place to visit. Explore knowledge. Explore fun. Explore relaxation. Explore adventure. Explore a hometown. Explore Kearney, Missouri.
So if you haven't heard, the FIFA World Cup games are coming to Kansas City in less than 1 year. That's right. We have less than 1 year to prepare for the influx of people coming here from all over the world. Here to tell us more about how the county is preparing is Megan Saalfeld from Clay County Tourism and Marketing. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, this is truly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a lot of folks, and we could not be more excited about it. It's going to bring a lot of visitors, a lot of economic impact, the biggest event in the world, they're saying,
right
in our back door. So we are exceptionally proud to be a part of it and working with the Kansas City team on how best to prepare and, you know, how to engage with folks while they're here. So
yes.
We're happy to be here.
Super exciting. I would love for you to share with us, because I don't know that our residents, at least the ones who aren't soccer fans, truly understand what is going to happen in the months of June and July in 2026. Can you give us just a snapshot?
Yes. So the numbers that they're throwing out there, and these I've heard are conservative numbers, is an expectation of 650,000 visitors to our region. And hotels will be filling up in about a 2.5 hour radius around the Kansas City region. So you're talking about almost Ozarks area, you're talking about Omaha, you know, quite the reach that folks are going to be coming in from all over to participate and watch the match and participate in Fan Fest and be a part of this magic tournament that happens once every 4 years.
Right. And are these people coming in, they're just coming in for, because we have, Kansas City's been awarded, what, six or seven
matches.
Games, and we've got the one big game, is that the quarterfinal?
So the final match that we have here in Kansas City is the quarterfinal match, which we were really lucky to have that draw. That's a big game, and for us being the smallest host city, that is amazing that they looked at us and they looked at what we have to offer and they said, yes, these guys should have a quarterfinal match. So expect bigger crowds during that match. But the whole time, it's going to be an amazing experience. We're going to have visitors from all over. And of course, we don't know who's coming yet because they have not done the final draw for the teams. We do know that the United States are going to have three matches. Canada and Mexico, host countries, are already awarded three matches. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's a tournament play. So we're not going to be told who's going to base camp in our area or even release the final teams that are going to be in the tournament until very late 25, possibly early 26.
Right. What do you mean by base camp?
So, yes, that is a term you'll hear a lot. We know that Kansas City is excited to host the actual matches, but there are going to be what they're calling base camps, which we have three potential base camps in our region. The one in the Northland that we're most excited about is going to be Riverside, the Casey Current Training Facility. And that essentially is going to be a home away from home for one of the countries during the tournament. And again, we don't know which country. We're hoping
Wish
for
we
one
did.
Of those top ones. It'd be fantastic. But the Kansas City region actually has three potential base camps in that directory that countries are currently looking into and looking at the geography, looking at, you know, how easy it is to get from that base camp to the tournament games, and evaluating all the pros and cons of each base camp and then deciding which one they're going to select for their team.
And the way I understand it is we have the potential of getting one of the top teams because we have one of the newest and most updated facilities.
So we are very hopeful that we get one of the top teams, myself included. I mean, it would be phenomenal if we could get, somebody like Brazil or Argentina, right. Or, you
that
know, one fun. Of those big names would be amazing. Historically, they've always done really well, so they have a huge following, and that would be fantastic to get one of them here. Now, we are hopeful because we're centrally located. So Kansas City is about a four-hour flight to any of the other host cities. And then, there's some talk of they like our humid climate. It acclimates the players for these games that could be in all these different cities. So while we might not always love our humid summers, it's actually something that's a positive when they're looking at acclimating their players to the various regions. And then just the ease of access to Kansas City, again, from all the major international airports and our own international airport.
Right.
So we're very hopeful.
So 650,000 people coming to the area. They'll be going to games. What are they going to do when we're not at games? What will that look like for Clay County and Kearney?
Yes. So that is what we're working on right now is how best to market to these folks while they're here. And what we're hearing right now from our contacts with Visit KC and Visit Missouri and their international reps who have boots on the ground in these other countries and are mm-hmm. evaluating, you know, what are people most going to be interested in? We're hearing historic sites are very high on the list. Yeah. You know, if you visit a country, you want to see what makes them tick, what made them who they are and how they got to be where they are. And so we're super excited, especially Kearney area,
yes.
to have Jesse James.
That's right.
Because that, I think, is going to be a very big draw, and we're looking to yeah. capitalize on that.
In a normal year, there's over 40 countries that visit
yes.
that. So
yes,
I mean, I can't
absolutely.
Imagine what this would look like at that event.
So we are already and have been working on making sure that we have great representation on those international. So Brand USA is like the Visit Clay of the United States.
Yes.
I go to Visit Clay because that's me. So that is a website that a lot of international folks are looking into. Well, we have a page on there, and right front row is our Jesse James
nice.
And our historic sites, and we'll be setting up itineraries that'll focus on that. But then we'll also have itineraries for family-centric activities. There's a lot in Clay County we have to offer, especially in the new rabbit hole. That's
mm-hmm.
very exciting. And then food and bev. We have a ton of breweries, and we know that that's also a draw for folks. So the breweries and the food, yes. And, you know, we hear that folks, they want to come here and experience Americana and its truest, most authentic form. So they want to have that larger-than-life cheeseburger or steak or, you know, maybe they want to check out some of the fried chicken that we have.
How about Waffle House?
Maybe Waffle House, yes. Perhaps. Why
Please
not
don't
Waffle
put that
House?
On the tour.
I don't think that's going to be a key stop, but,
no.
you know, we'll make sure they can find one.
How are we going to get all these people around? What are we doing for that? That just seems like I can't even think about fathom what,
good luck.
How are you going to get them to where and what the tour is. I mean, you're going to have to really orchestrate a lot of different people from a lot of different cities.
Absolutely. And there are lots of plans and works, mainly with the Kansas City team who's focused on that. We work very closely with them to make sure that we are giving them all the information that we have. So so that when their teams are working on the transit, they're keeping that in mind and making sure that we have park and rides in locations that will make it accessible for folks to get up north here.
It's going to be like a pandemic where everybody who works downtown, if you can work from home for 2 months. I mean,
I can't speak to that. I think what we're looking for is a really good balance between a realistic expectation that, you know, the city is going to have a lot more visitors. The streets are going to be busier. The sidewalks are going to be busier. I mean, especially these key cultural hubs, there's going to be a lot more people there. So,
you work on the main part of the streetcar, like, there's no way.
You'll be busy.
You'll be busy. That's an understatement.
You'll be busy.
Just said 650,000 people. Yeah.
Your biggest issue is going to be if these people rent cars. They're used to driving on the other side of the road. So then what are we going to do?
Probably the same thing Americans do over there when we have to switch and drive on the other side of the road.
We run into people.
You pay very close to those the roadways and the walkways. Yeah. But you got to keep in mind, too, this is not like the draft of the Super Bowl where folks are in for one weekend or one day. This is over the course of, we have 26 days between the first match hosted in Kansas City and the last match, that quarterfinal match. So when they're throwing out these numbers, you know, it's not just one big burst in one day and one moment. It is going to be spread out over that time. And you've got the official fan fest that they're hosting that you're going to have a lot of people going to and from. And then from there, our hope is that we can capture their attention with some of these itineraries and the really awesome main streets and that local flavor that we offer in the Midwest.
And let's not forget, 650,000 tourists, there's also going to be locals who are going to want to go and experience all this
absolutely.
As well. I mean, it's going to add into that
absolutely.
As well.
I mean, for me, that is so exciting. I am a lifelong soccer fan. My kids play soccer. I played soccer. So this truly is like the greatest thing to hit our backyards. And I fully plan on checking all of it out, right? And that's what we encourage our residents to do, too. Yes, be aware. It is going to be a lot busier. So, you know, stock up on a few things here and there. Sure, that makes sense.
That's a good point.
But also, you know, take
make
advantage
sure you got the old
of
TP.
That. Please don't run out of TP. No, we don't need, I mean, you don't need to go to extremes because, like I said, you're talking about a 26-day span. This is not just one burst or one weekend where everyone's hunkering down. We don't want people to hunker down. We want them to go to the festivals and the watch parties and really, you know, embrace these different cultures that are coming to us. I mean, how often is it that you can, within your own city, experience multiple cultures in a very authentic way. Right. So we want people to take part of that. I mean, they want to check out our culture, but also, like, how cool is it? People that might normally be able to go to Europe or South America, you know, you can meet up with these folks and you can talk to them and you can learn as much as you possibly can with a face-to-face at one of these festivals or a watch party or any of the other events that are going to be popping up for it.
Yeah. Where's FanFest?
That's going to be at the World War I Memorial on the South Lawn.
Yep. And that's 26 days of Fan Fest?
I don't know the details of that. I'm leaving all of that to our counterparts on the KC team. They're taking care of that. I do know that we do have some stuff planned in the Northland. One of the very cool things to come out of this was that Clay County and Platte County are actually partnering together for the first time. And so we're going to be rebranding under one name, one identity in the Northland, and we're working together to host our own events. We're talking about possibly doing a traveling watch party in different cities. So those that maybe can't make it down to FanFest can still have that amazing soccer experience and watch the game on a big screen and have food vendors and have, you know, soccer zones and family zones. And there's a lot that we're going to be doing in our, you know, Northland area, too, that we would love people to take advantage of.
Are you prepared? Are you allowed to share what that brand is? That we're...
We could go ahead and share the brand. Yes, it's not launched officially, but I'll give you all a sneak peek because I think it is out in enough places. One of the very cool things with the team that we have pulled together is we have representatives on a city level, on a chamber level from all the bigger cities in Clay County and Platte County. And it really has been a united group effort to move forward. And so I'll go ahead and let us know. We're talking about Go North KC, and we will be launching that later this year. Keep an eye out on the upcoming Fall Fest because we're going to have a presence there, and we're going to really push hard and get people to you know, look forward to the new website they'll be launching and then all the different events and activities that'll be going on.
Yeah,
and it's a legacy project. It's not just for World Cup. World Cup may have sparked this unification, but truly this is going to be a project that'll last well beyond that. And with everything that we're doing, we're keeping that in mind. So while we are definitely going to capitalize on the games that are coming to town, I think moving forward, it's such a cool opportunity to bring everyone together on one roof and list all of, you know, Kearney's events, Smithville's events, North Kansas City's, Parkville's, Riverside's, have them all in one place for folks to go, because everything is a hop, skip, and a jump up here. Right. And I think, you know, we are already labeled as just the Northland in a vague sense.
Right.
So we're leaning into that and we're going to make the most of it. So I'm excited to share that, and you know, more to come.
Sorry, I pressured you on that.
It's okay. It's okay. I really am very excited about it. I just without having our boots on the ground in that project yet, we don't have much other than just sharing the name.
All right,
it's a great place to start.
Megan, thank you so much for being here and sharing just a little bit about World Cup with us. Wow. Watch for more information to come, both from Clay County and from Kearney Tourism, as we continue to plan for this huge event. So thank you very much. Nick, what have you got?
Up next, Clay County Prosecutor Zach Thompson is here to talk with us about issues facing communities and the latest scams people are receiving. We'll tell you more after this. Stay tuned.
Kearney Trust Company is your local bank offering personalized financial services with a focus on what matters to you. From checking and savings accounts to home loans and retirement planning, they're here to help you achieve your financial goals. Kearney Trust Company is a partner for success with two locations in Kearney at 310 West 92 Highway and 701 Watson Drive in Price Chopper. 816-628-6666 or kearneytrust.com. Kearney Trust Company, banking you can trust, member FDIC.
At Kearney Family Chiropractic Center, they believe that your health starts with your spine. Using gentle, effective chiropractic care, they focus on restoring balance to your body and improving your overall well-being. Kearney Family Chiropractic Center is taking appointments now at 816-628-6738. The office is located at 301 South Platte Clay Way, Suite B in Kearney, and their website is kearneyfamilychiro.com. Experience the power of wellness at Kearney Family Chiropractic Center.
Platte Clay Electric Cooperative is more than just your energy provider. They're your neighbors, too. For over 85 years, they've been powering homes, businesses, and communities in the Northland with reliable, affordable electricity. As a cooperative, they're owned by you, the members. That means every decision they make is focused on serving your needs, not profits. From maintaining safe and efficient power lines to offering energy-saving tips, they're here to support you every step of the way. Platte Clay Electric Cooperative. Empowering communities and energizing life with safe and reliable energy.
Welcome back to Kearney Live. We have all heard about people falling for scams as well as some crime issues around Kearney. Clay County Prosecutor Zach Thompson is here to tell us more. Welcome, Zach. Great to have you. Let's get started. So let's talk about some of this. Tell us about some of these recent scams that are going on. It seems to be a constant flow. So what's the newest thing going around?
Well, sure. First off, thanks for having me here, Nick.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to be here. One of the things we're seeing right now is the use of cryptocurrency kiosks to scam people. And for people who aren't familiar with these devices, they look like small ATM machines, and you find them in gas stations, you find them in liquor stores and vape shops. And what's happening is scammers are targeting individuals with a variety of different types of scams. But the end of the story is that people take money and they feed money into these machines, they purchase cryptocurrency, and then they transfer that cryptocurrency to what's called an e-wallet to the scammer. And once that money is input into the machine, it's gone.
And so what are the scammers telling these people to do? How are they enticing them to do that?
Well, so the number of scams and types of scams are only limited by your imagination. I can talk about a few where an individual was contacted. They said they their bank account had been hacked, and in order to protect their money, they had to take it out of the bank account and then deposit it into the machine, when in actuality, they were actually handing their money over to the scammer.
Yikes.
We've also had cases where people are contacted by someone pretending to be from the Clay County Sheriff's Office and saying they had a warrant out for their arrest. In order to take care of that warrant, they had to put money into the machine.
Wow. And see, I thought the biggest ones were just the you haven't paid your parking ticket.
Yeah, well,
you know, that, right?
This baffles me though, because there are so many ways where people, you guys, the sheriff's department, everybody has said, don't fall for this, and over and over and over. And older people, I get, because they're not familiar with technology, and that's been a thing since, you know, even in the 20s. I know, I was there. But how do we educate people not to fall for? I have a follow-up question. I know that's going to be shocking, but how do we get people to not fall for these scams? It's like this, the Facebook thing we've talked about, where, you know, share this with 40 people and blah, 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 and it comes up over and over, and they keep falling for it. How do we get people to not fall for the scams? Don't become a victim.
Sure. That's an important question, right? Because in my role, I meet individuals after they've been victimized, after the crime has been occurred, right? And especially with these types of crimes, once that happens, it's very, very difficult to make these victims whole. And that's why education and prevention are so important. You know, when I was an assistant prosecutor, we created what's called the CEASE initiative. And it stands for Citizen Education Against Scams and Exploitation. And what we do is we go visit groups of people and we talk about the most common types of scams and how to protect against them.
And so it's like, you know, going back to the 70s or 80s when they used to tell you, don't walk down a dark alley by yourself to prevent becoming a victim. So these scams like this, cyber scams, the skimmers on credit card machine or, you know, at gas pumps and that, all these things you can look for. So that's step one. Just educate yourself so you don't, your chances of becoming a victim are far, far less. And I mean, some of these scammers are really, really good. I had on my phone, it came up Bank of America, and they asked the questions and they knew everything, but what they needed was the 3-digit on my credit card. And I was like, no, I'm not giving you that. But they were so good. It said Bank of America. The number was a Bank of America number. That I can understand how a lot of people could fall for it. So protect yourself, one. On the other side of that, what do you guys do as far as prosecution if and when you catch somebody who's perpetrating the scam?
Well, I mean, we hold criminals accountable every day. That's what we do. But with these types of scams that are electronic in nature, right, these scammers are located overseas. It's not like these folks are, you know, in Kearney somewhere or even anywhere in Clay County, which makes it really, really hard for law enforcement officers to successfully investigate it. And if they do, for us to have a successful prosecution, right? It's really, really difficult. And these scams are limited only by your imagination. I'm sure everyone has got a text saying that they were on a toll road in Kansas and they owe money, right? And so there's an infinite number of these types of scams. So here's what I tell people, right? Regardless of the type of scams, because there's a million of them, you should take your time, you should talk to someone you trust, and you should do your research before you make any big decisions.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really good point. And I guess, and correct me if this is wrong, but my thing would be nothing happens fast. In other words, there's no reason to race down to the bank and withdraw all your money. Shut off your credit card because your card got stolen? Yeah, do that quickly. But if somebody calls you with some outlandish, weird thing, nothing's going to happen in 28 seconds. So verify with your bank or verify with whatever to prevent that.
Well, yeah, and do that with the number you have, right? Don't rely on the contact information that the scammer used to contact you, right? Do your own research, call the number that you discover on your own, right? And what you say is a good point, right? Because there's a million different types of scams. They all kind of rhyme with each other. They all have similarities, right? And you mentioned one. There's a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. You have to act now before something bad happens, right? Your loved one's going to be in jail. They're going to come arrest you. You're going to lose your house. Your power is going to get shut off, right? So they create this sense of urgency because they don't want you acting rationally. They want to get you under what they call the ether, acting emotionally. Right. And then another big warning sign is secrecy. They don't want you talking about it with people, because like we said, the more you talk about it, out loud with someone you trust, the more it sounds like what it is. And then finally, which is a really big warning sign, is the method of payment, right? The sheriff's office isn't going to have you purchase cryptocurrency to pay off a debt, right? That's just
or
not.
Or gift cards.
Yeah, or go down by gift cards and read the numbers off the back, right? That's just not something a legitimate entity is going to do.
I don't understand what Sheriff Aiken's going to do with a gift card to Logan's Steakhouse, but this is great.
So once that money is transferred, I'm sure it just immediately moves all over the place, which creates another issue of actually tracking it down.
Oh, when you put it into the cryptocurrency machine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's gone.
Yeah,
right. I mean, once that money goes in there, there was actually a case out of Kansas where a law enforcement officer took the money out of the machine, right, and then attempted to hand it back to the person who was scammed, and eventually it was determined that that money didn't belong to the victim anymore, right? So once the money gets put into a machine, that's a real, real problem, and then it gets turned into ones and zeros and sent
because once you put it in the machine, it's almost as if you're giving your consent to give that money, right?
Yeah, it's gone.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's gone. And that's why scammers like it. Right. They like cryptocurrency because it's really, really hard to track. And the money transfers are near instantaneous.
Wow. Okay. So I'm not good at math. But the way you described this, you're putting money into a machine to get crypto out. And then you're putting crypto in the machine to send it to whoever. It feels like you're being scammed twice.
Well, you put the money into the machine and then you purchase the crypto. Right. And now it's ones and zeros inside this machine. And then you deposit in what's called an e-wallet, right? You get to choose where you deposit this money, and then it gets sent, and it's gone.
And they have access to that e-wallet, or you're sending it?
Well, so the scammer tells you to put it into their e-wallet.
Got it.
Right? And then the scammer has remote access to that cryptocurrency near instantaneously.
So, jeez. And I'd like to clear up another rumor, because we've run into this before. There is not a fund that exists, and correct me if this changed and I wasn't made aware. When you get scammed like this, the government, i.e. the Clay County, Platte County, Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, is not going to go, well, that's a shame, and hand you a check and refund your money. Yeah.
Well, I mean, for this type of crime, if it exists, I've never heard of it. Right. There is something called the Crime Victims Compensation Fund.
But that's for...
That's something else.
Yeah, that's for something totally different.
Right.
So, I guess what I'm trying to say is be very careful, because once you become a victim, you are not going to see that money again unless you're protected some other way through your, well, and even then it's very difficult at best.
Yeah, that's
is that accurate?
Well, yeah, once that money's gone, it's really, really hard to get that money back for the victims. It's, you know, I can count the number of times we're able to do that. With the thousands and thousands of cases, right, that we have where we're able to successfully get someone their money back. It's really rare.
Wow. Thousands of cases in Clay County?
I would say dozens of cases over the last couple of years in Clay County. As part of some research we did in the office, we reached out to all the different law enforcement agencies that operate in Clay County, and we asked them how many cases they've had involving these machines, right? Kansas City alone had over $2 million in losses for individuals that were taken advantage of using just these machines, right? And that's not counting all the other different types of scams that exist. That's just the scams involving this particular machine. Smithville's had cases involving the machines where people were taken advantage of. I know Liberty has, Gladstone has, North Kansas City has. So there's no community in Clay County that's immune from this type of crime.
Wow. And so I guess let's talk about we've heard about the skimmers that they put gas stations on. That was a big deal. Have you had any success? I know once the money once you hit the skimmer and all that, again, maybe you're protected under your credit card, maybe you're not. Have you had any luck going after the people? Someone had to put that on there.
Sure.
And with a lot of these gas stations now have cameras. Any success catching the person who puts it on there?
So I haven't seen a case in Clay County where they actually investigated the case, had enough evidence to identify a suspect, and then charge a suspect that was presented to our office. I haven't seen that, right? In the prosecutor's office, we rely on law enforcement to do our investigation. So if that's happening and they don't develop a suspect, I may not know about it until sometime later, right? We find out about it when law enforcement presents it to our office.
So here's a good question. So go back.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do. this is a fantastic
This is one of my
question.
Best, he says.
Make sure you're recording at home. So going back to the 70s and 80s, before Stacy was born, obviously, you know, street robbery was one of your common things because everybody's carrying around cash. Now, not so much. Very few people, you know, if I have $20 in my wallet, that's all I have. If you're going to try and find me outside the studio, I may have that same $20 for 4 months. I just don't use cash anymore. Is the number of other crimes decreasing at all? Are we seeing a transference of crimes, like fewer street robberies, fewer anything else, burglaries? Maybe
as these have increased?
Because it just shifts.
We haven't seen a lot of, you know, strong arm street robberies, right? Where you're just walking down the street and someone puts a gun in your face and says, give me your wallet. We don't have a lot of cases like that. But people are being victimized in different ways, right? You see a lot of cases where people leave their garage doors open and then people's homes get broken into, right? There's a lot of retail theft that exists, not just in Clay County, but the whole metro area. Mm-hmm. We're actually part of an initiative with the surrounding counties. It's called the Vibrant Communities Initiative. And what that is it's intelligence sharing between all the different law enforcement entities in the Kansas City metro area with retail theft. Because what we were seeing is that there were a few individuals, right, that would really, really tear into stores. And these criminals don't care about county lines or state lines, right? So they go from Clay County to Platte County to Jackson County across the state line to Kansas, too. So that's one of the ways we're trying to deal with that. But retail theft has been a real issue here in Clay County, that's for sure.
How about burglary? Has that gone down at all over the years because so many people have cameras now?
I think it's probably stayed pretty steady, right? Simply because there's just different ways for people to break into your home, right? So, you know, people leave their garage door openers in their cars, right? And then they don't put their garage or their car in their garage, so people access it that way. So we're still seeing a fair number of residential burglaries in Clay County.
How are we doing on prosecution?
I think we're doing fantastic.
I would expect that was a great
Absolutely.
Question.
Yeah. Yeah, just that was another a great one. Question. Great answer.
I'm on a roll. No,
I mean, to answer your question, I think, you know, our office has 17 assistant prosecutors in it, right, and then me. And I think those attorneys do a fantastic job holding offenders accountable. And that's just the attorneys, right? We've got about 25 other support staffs that assist us in doing our job. And I can tell you those prosecutors became prosecutors because they wanted to improve their communities. You don't become rich as a prosecutor. That's just not a thing. And they're extremely busy, right? If you compare our numbers to surrounding counties, our workload is pretty robust, right? We have a lot of cases per prosecutor, and we've been actively working on adding additional staff to make sure that each case deserves the attention it needs.
Nice.
Well, thank you for being here today. Appreciate the work that you're doing to keep our community safe. One last time, tell us like one parting thought of how to keep ourselves safe, the scams. Can you go through that list of three one more time?
For sure.
That was really good.
I think it's really important for folks to understand that you are a target, right? The first step in avoiding becoming the victim is recognizing that you are a target for criminals. And then once you understand that, you should recognize the warning signs for scams. And that is, if the person wants you to act quickly under a sense of urgency, they want you to act secretly without talking about it with other people. And the big one is the method of payment. If they want you to pay them with cryptocurrency or gift cards, right, or things like that, you should take a real moment to really consider what's going on, right? And then the advice generally with all scams is to take your time, talk to someone you trust, and do your research before you make big decisions.
Nice.
Good deal. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thanks, Nick.
Yep. Jim.
Coming up next, Governor Mike Kehoe called legislators back to Jefferson City last month to work on a bill to keep the Chiefs and Royals in Missouri. We'll get the perspective of District 39 State Representative Mark Myrith right after this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Kearney Trust Company is your local bank offering personalized financial services with a focus on what matters to you. From checking and savings accounts to home loans and retirement planning, they're here to help you achieve your financial goals. Kearney Trust Company is a partner for success with two locations in Kearney at 310 West 92 Highway and 701 Watson Drive in Price Chopper. 816-628-6666 or kearneytrust.com. Kearney Trust Company, banking you can trust, member FDIC.
At Kearney Family Chiropractic Center, they believe that your health starts with your spine. Using gentle, effective chiropractic care, they focus on restoring balance to your body and improving your overall well-being. Kearney Family Chiropractic Center is taking appointments now at 816-628-6738. The office is located at 301 South Platte Clay Way, Suite B in Kearney, and their website is kearneyfamilychiro.com. Experience the power of wellness at Kearney Family Chiropractic Center.
Platte Clay Electric Cooperative is more than just your energy provider. They're your neighbors, too. For over 85 years, they've been powering homes, businesses, and communities in the Northland with reliable, affordable electricity. As a cooperative, they're owned by you, the members. That means every decision they make is focused on serving your needs, not profits. From maintaining safe and efficient power lines to offering energy-saving tips, they're here to support you every step of the way. Platte Clay Electric Cooperative, empowering communities and energizing life with safe and reliable energy.
And welcome back to Kearney Live. The Missouri Legislature was called back to Jefferson City last month to work on the Show Me Sports Investment Act, among other legislation, and Governor Kehoe actually signed that bill. But there's more to it, and here to talk about it is Representative Mark Meyerth. And welcome to the show, Mark. I understand this legislation got kind of messy. It wasn't what it was initially supposed to be, but let's start with the Show Me Sports Investment Act. How you got BRAC back in, and where that went?
Well, we already had voted on it prior, and it went back to the Senate. The House had passed it, went back to the Senate. They did their modifications, and it came back to the House. That's with a special session, including some very well-deserved disaster relief for the folks on the east side in St. Louis because of the tornadoes, and they were in dire circumstances, no place to go. People living in front of their homes. It was,
gosh.
So it was hard. We, Intergovernmental Affairs, brought that bill that came to our committee, and we heard that the day before the special session. And then a bunch of folks, the mayor of St. Louis was there. It's heart wrenching how what those people are doing, living in front of their homes because they're worried about looters. Mm-hmm. It was just terrible. And then the sports bill came up, obviously.
And the sports bill, when we talk about the sports bill, we've heard a lot about the Royals and the Chiefs and can we keep them in Kansas City. So how did that all get worked into this whole session?
Well, it was initially, it was the very end of the session, the Tuesday, and we're supposed to be done that Friday. Session was over. And I got a phone call that Monday night saying that, hey, because you're in Clay County, and Clay County is ground zero for where they want to put those new stadiums, potentially,
right. Then
they wanted to give us heads up that it was coming to our district, potentially. So it got dropped on the Republican conference at about 8:30 that next morning. The conference, not unusual, we get together every week. We decide what bills are gonna be brought up, what went on the previous week, that kind of thing. Totally normal, but Governor Kehoe was there. And along with their marketing person. And so in this part of the state, we're very vested in this, right? We live here.
Right.
But the people in Southwest or the Northeast, St. Louis, mm-hmm. They don't much care about what goes on unless it affects their wallet.
Right.
And they were like, okay, so how do I take this bill and tell my people down in Cape Girardeau that this is good for them and this is why they're going to need to up some money potentially? And there was no real good answer for why. And I personally, I'd be against building a stadium in Cape Girardeau, or I was against it when they built the Jones Dome in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was discussed, took about an hour. We were supposed to be on the floor at 10. We didn't get to the floor till a little after 11 because of the discussion that was going on. And then it hit the floor. And the debate happened.
That quickly.
And takes 82 votes on the House floor to get something passed, not only this, but anything. And so it got passed.
So as it relates to the stadium part of it, because I know that's the big, that's been the big point of discussion for some time, you know, will the Royals Chiefs stay here? Mm-hmm. Will they go to Kansas? Will they go to Utah or whatever the case
Nashville.
Yeah. Nashville, which I don't see happening, but who am I? What did the bill actually say? In other words, what got passed?
Yeah, there's a whole lot to it, and it's not only the Chiefs and the Royals. The Cardinals are now going to get into this.
Oh.
The Battle Hawks, which is a football.
Like arena football?
No, it's not arena. New league. I've actually seen the Battle Hawks. So
They're pretty popular in St.
Yeah,
Louis.
They're very popular, and they're good.
Yeah. Unlike the Cardinals and the Rams.
Or the Royals as of late.
Yeah. But anyway. Stop it.
For sure.
But, so the bill had all those things in it. How does legislature get involved in sporting events?
Well, it has to do with money and the budget.
Right. Economy. Taxes. What's that? Economy and taxes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we heard all kinds of promises and how much this is going to generate for the city, what we're going to lose. Do we want them to go over to the Legends or to the old Sprint campus over on Kansas? Most people, a college buddy of mine is in the house in Kansas. So I called him and I said, what's the take from the Kansas side? And he said, well, people aren't terribly excited about that.
Really?
But they don't want it to leave the region.
Yes.
Right.
And if Kansas gets it, it's not going to go to Hutchinson or Fort Correct. Hayes. You know, it's going to stay in
Kansas City Metro.
Yeah, right. And so do we want to lose that revenue? They claim that it's going to generate 4,500 new jobs, but I have a hard time finding out where those 4,500 jobs are going to come from. They're just moving 12 miles from Independence to North Kansas City, potentially. So, and there's some really big concerns. Without the vote for raising the sales tax, this doesn't go. So we the people have to say, yeah, we want that 30-year sales tax, kind of like Jackson County. Yeah, it won't go. The 30 to 40 million is what it takes annually for the upkeep of those stadiums. So it's got to come from somewhere. So the people of Clay County, if the Royals decide that they're going to go to Clay County, they didn't know yet.
Right.
Or they haven't let anybody know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll go on the ballot possibly August of 26 or November of 26 for the Clay County residents. This is kind of like Jackson County's paying now. You know, they're paying the...
Will that come with any perks for Clay County? Will they have access to tickets prior to others or anything like that?
That's what the Royals and the Chiefs do.
Okay.
But none of those, supposedly, they're going to be there, but there's nothing definite. We don't even have a number on how much this is going to cost. I mean, it's potentially... $1.5 billion. I mean, we're talking bees. And it's ferociously expensive.
This goes back to the argument that I've made on this show 1,000 times is somewhere we got totally out of control. I get the revenue part. I get keeping the Chiefs and Royals here. I would hate to ever see them leave.
Absolutely.
However, I also, we get to this thing where, where did government become all things to all people, where we have to fund everything? Yep. Because we just keep getting out of control, and we fund this, and we fund that, and we fund that. So I understand the argument from people where I don't want my tax money to go to a stadium or whatever the case may be. And I'm sure your constituents have the same argument.
Personally, I'm against it. Just for what you said, this is a want, not a need. We're not 1967, 68, where we're a municipal stadium, right? Mm-hmm. Before the Truman Complex got built. So this is a one, and I agree with you. Those stadiums, nothing like them. Nobody's got special stadiums for baseball and softball, or baseball and football next to each other. Mm-hmm. They're gorgeous.
Are people wanting to move because the state specific to the stadiums, or is it also the area that's around it? You know, it seems like things are kind of dying off. Businesses, there doesn't seem to be a lot of life right there.
There's never been life. It's right. Truman's Sports Complex.
Yeah, right, but I mean, you know, but around, like, I would like to see something, maybe a compromise of why do we have to move? Why can't we fix what's underneath it, build some hotels or something around there that would be closer?
Because everybody wants the new thing.
Yeah. Right.
We're going to get the new thing. It's kind of like we did with the airport. Now, I think the new terminal mm-hmm. building is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. But we got to have new. Right. And the funny thing is, a lot of the people who complain are the ones that only go up there once a year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the sports. They're the people who complain the loudest never go to a game. They'll go once a year. If you want to support the team, go take your happy self out there more often.
Right.
Thanks for getting me started.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But I'll say this, now that you got me on a roll, thanks.
I didn't realize I was opening the store.
So I will also say, for those of you, because you brought up an excellent point, for those of you who've never been to a game at another stadium, go to Boston, go to Chicago, go to some of those places, and you will realize what a beautiful facility this is, in that you can park and walk to the stadium, and your car's right there, and all you got to do is remember I'm an L13.
That's right.
And that's it. But
yep.
You go to St. Louis, Chicago, Boston, mm-hmm. number one, you're not going to mm-hmm. park anywhere near the stadium. You're going to have to park somewhere and take a train, bus, walk mm-hmm. 10 miles or whatever. Number two, depending on the city, and I'm not going to name any cities, it's 50-50 your car's ever going to be there when you get back. It's 70-30 that anything that was in the car is going to be there when you get back. So, and I get it, before you say it and write me letters and emails, I do know that cars get broken into at Kauffman and Arrowhead, but nothing like what happens when you have to park and walk. So
on the city street.
The same thing. If we move the stadium over to Clay County or the Legends or whatever the case may be, the parking facility that exists over there at Arrowhead and Kauffman is not going to be
what it is
able now. To repeat
mm-hmm.
it.
Well, and what you were saying about the stadiums, not only do they want stadiums, they want an entertainment district.
Right.
Okay. And in the proposal, the entertainment district is going to be tax-free and all the revenue stays with the teams. That sound fair to you? And it said that it's going to grow the businesses in North Kansas City. I'm not Mm-mm. convinced. You're not going to park and then walk to Armour Road and go to Chapels,
no.
right, for example, when there's a restaurant, brand new, all shiny and new, right? You're going to stay there. I think it'd help some businesses, but I think it would hurt. The other thing is, two things. One lady called me and said, hey, I'm against it this reason. I never thought of her angle. But the infrastructure works fine now, right? 9 Highway, you know, Burlington, 210 Armour, right?
Yep.
Those are all fine. Until you get 40,000 cars that are trying to get in and out of there, not so much. So the infrastructure is going to have to be built.
Absolutely.
But not only that, you interfere with the people who live there.
Correct.
Who don't want to fight with that every time there's a Royals game.
And the local businesses that are already there that'll take up their parking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so Bob's Ferret Shop that's down on the corner.
Yeah. It's a great place.
Have you invested in Bob's Ferret Shop?
I have.
Always bring that
up. Sales are down at Bob's Ferret Shop. But nobody's going to be able to get there to buy their ferret.
Right.
Exactly.
And so during a game anyway, and that's going to actually hurt business.
Agreed. And who pays for that infrastructure update? We the people.
Right.
I mean, MoDOT. MoDOT gets his money from the state. And this has nothing to do with anything other than we're broke. We're spending more than we took in. And that's a problem.
Do you have any insight into, we're hearing a lot about, you know, Missouri had a special session, Kansas had one, like, are we going to keep going back and forth? Will that eventually stop? What does that look like?
To outbid each other?
Right.
There was this arbitrary deadline of June 30th, right, for Kansas. Well, it wasn't anything binding, right? So they want to extend that.
Oh, gosh.
And Kansas doesn't require a vote of the people to add a sales tax. They can just say you're paying it.
Oh.
Right, it's different than Missouri. So Clay County, the voters here will have to say, yeah, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever does that is going to bring into debt their grandkids, right, and their kids for the sales tax. Are people going to, and another concern is, are people going to go from Clay County to Platte County? And that was another problem with this sports bill, is that 97 counties got a special tax carve out.
What do you mean?
They even got a flat tax, a zero tax. It's too complicated, but 97 got special tax breaks.
In regard to the sports?
Correct.
Interesting.
And what happened is that Clay County didn't get one. They need the revenue for these stadiums. The ones that didn't get it were the revenue generators, the counties, because there are counties that don't generate hardly anything at all, right? Like, for example, there are 7 representatives in Clay County because of the population density.
Mm-hmm.
You just go a little bit north, and you're talking about one representative for 3 or 4 counties.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no revenue. So all the ones that don't generate revenue for the state got a break, and kind of incentivized them to say, yeah, okay, I'll vote for this. It's not my district. I'll never use it.
Gotcha.
I can't tell you how many reps have told me. They said, look, most of my people in my district, they don't even have cars that'll make it to Kansas City. And they're for sure not going to spend $300 to take their family to a Royals game.
Thank you for coming in, Mark.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
You
Thank
explaining
you,
that. Great.
Thanks
to
for
us.
The time.
Wonderful talking to you about this.
We'll have you back and give us some updates as this thing rolls along. And
yes.
We see what's
sometime
going on.
Middle of September, because there's a few other things that are going on, and there's talk that there'll be another special session at veto session.
All right. We look forward to having you back in September and see what that holds for us.
Be great.
All right. Stay with us. Final thoughts coming up next.
Explore a place to visit. Explore knowledge. Explore fun. Explore relaxation. Explore adventure. Explore a hometown. Explore Kearney, Missouri.
And welcome back to Kearney Live. It's time for our final thoughts, and we did not discuss this before we came out of commercial break. So I think we will start with whoever looks most frightened, Nick.
Yeah, I want to make sure everybody knows and remembers about the donations for the school resource fair. Those can be dropped off at Tracy Tucker's office or Stella Spiking's office. Please get those in there. Kids need them, and that's coming up in August. So still got time to do that.
Very good. I'll take the next one. I have 2 final thoughts because I came prepared. Number 1, I am very proud to announce that all three of us, after the 4th of July weekend, have all of our fingers and toes. We were able to successfully, I'm sorry, four of us, because Brian has his as well. We were able to successfully navigate that without blowing anything up that was attached to us. We did blow some stuff up, but that's neither here nor there. The other thing is, if you have not heard and you've been living under a rock, congratulations to Coach Logan Minnick, as he is now engaged. He and Catherine are now going to get married. And for all of us that'll be at that fine event in, where is it, Europe? I can't remember where it's going to be. But anyway, congratulations to those two.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Well, I wanted to let everybody know that the Chamber of Commerce will be hosting a Leadership Academy come September. This is open to the full community to register for and attend. The Empower Leadership Academy, Empower Kearney Leadership Academy, is a dynamic 9-month experience designed to cultivate and empower both established and emerging leaders. We have a low introductory rate of $7.99. If you're a chamber member, you get $100 off for $6.99. To find out more information about the Leadership Academy, visit the kearneychamber.org website and look for our events calendar. It'll be in September.
Sounds good. Looking forward to that. That's all the time we have today. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to join us next time on Kearney Live.